I don't believe in ghosts. Let me say that again. I do not believe in ghosts, spirits, haunts, haints, phantoms, or anything else like that. And in my opinion, those television shows where they go hunting ghosts, that's just all baloney. Now, having said all that, in the interest of full disclosure, I am compelled to tell you that I have seen a ghost. When Courtney and I got married, I had a dog. He was with us for many years, and he died at the ripe old age of 15. In the final months of his life, Courtney and I spent a lot of time taking care of an aging dog. He lost his sight, and then his hearing, and then finally his kidneys failed. In late July of that year, our daughter was down in Alabama staying with her grandparents and visiting with cousins, and I needed to go down and bring her back before school started. It would be a 3-day trip. A day driving all the way down to Mobile, a day with the family, and then a day driving back to Tennessee. And on the day that I left, the dog was so weak that I strongly suspected that he would not be there when I returned. I drove down, spent the day with the family, and then that evening, all the family were planning to eat dinner together, so I had to go back to where I was staying and clean up for the meal. I was there at that place, all alone, and as I was getting ready, there was a light that glimmered in my left eye, just a flash at the very corner of my peripheral vision. It lasted just a moment. It could have been anything. It could have been a stray reflection through the window, a misfire of my optic nerve, or maybe just my imagination. I don't really know, and I don't really care what the explanation might be, because I immediately recognized the relevance of the light, and it was my dog saying goodbye. And then when my wife called just a short time later to tell me that the dog had died, I wasn't surprised, because I already knew. He had been to see me. I may not believe in ghosts, but yes, I have seen one. Our scripture reading for today is something of a ghost story, or actually more accurately, as we shall see, it is a not ghost story. As we read here in the final chapters of the Gospel of Luke, Jesus was executed in Jerusalem. His corpse was placed in an empty tomb. 3 days after his death, early in the morning following the Sabbath, some women went to the tomb to prepare the body for a proper burial, because the tomb was simply temporary. And when they arrived, they discovered that tomb to be open, and the body was missing. Two men in dazzling clothes appeared before the women and informed them that Jesus was not there, that he had been raised. And the women rushed back to tell the others what they had witnessed, but the others just didn't believe them. Later that same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking home from Jerusalem. And as they walked, they were joined by this stranger who asked what they had been talking about so intently as they walked. And the two were astonished that this stranger was himself not aware of Jesus and the events of the previous week. And then that evening, as they gathered together for a meal, that stranger took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Of course, it had been Jesus walking with them that day. He then vanishes from their sight, And the two immediately rush back to Jerusalem to tell the others what they had experienced. Back in Jerusalem, while the two are describing the day's encounter, Jesus himself appears, and he addresses the group with his message, "Peace be with you." The group is understandably terrified because they believe that they are looking at a ghost or a spirit. And after all, I mean, they had watched Jesus die on the cross. This couldn't be him, could it? Jesus asked why they're so frightened, why their hearts are full of doubt. "Look at my hands and my feet," he tells them. "Touch me and see. Is a ghost, is a spirit real like this?" On the one hand, the group is overjoyed that Jesus is alive and that he's with them again. But naturally, they're skeptical. I mean, how could this be? And while they're trying to sort all of this out in their minds, well, Jesus asks if they've got anything that he might eat. So they give him pieces of cooked fish, and he eats that while they watch them. He must be real then. I mean, what kind of spirit consumes solid food like that? Jesus then reminds all the disciples there of what he had previously taught them, how the scriptures would be fulfilled. He says to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and is to rise from the dead on the third day." Rise from the dead. Dead things are supposed to stay dead. In the early church, there were Gnostics and Docetists and Arians and others who developed different explanations for who Jesus was. They were trying to work around this resurrection event. The early church really had to fight these different heresies for many generations. And they all, in different ways, were rejecting the belief in God's great power of salvation and of life. Jesus would remain with his disciples, teaching them more about God's kingdom and helping them understand the scriptures and also who he was. Eventually, he would leave them again and ascend into heaven. He would be gone, but his words would haunt them. However, before he does go, Jesus charges his followers to be witnesses of all that has happened. And in the same way, we too should be witnesses. A witness is not just someone who sees something. A witness tells what they've seen. If you witness a crime but don't testify about it, then you're not much of a witness. You're just a bystander. And in the church, the followers of Christ are called to be witnesses, not to be bystanders. So what is it that we witness? Well, we witness the cosmic story of Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, the Messiah, who suffered and who died and was raised so that we might enjoy salvation. We witness with our testimony, and we witness by serving his holy name. Now, you may argue that, well, none of us have actually seen Jesus, have we? We haven't touched his wounds. We haven't watched him eat. No, maybe not. But the disciples did, and they witnessed to others, and those witnessed to still more until that testimony reached through the centuries to us. And we know their testimony is true because we've felt it. We know these things just as I know that my dog came to say goodbye to me. I believe it. I feel it in my bones. Jesus is not gone. Jesus is here with us. He is here in our acts of compassion. He's in our church. He's not a spirit, but his living presence haunts us just the same. When we gather here each week, our worship experience is not unlike the experience of the disciples when Jesus appeared to them. Because here, each week, we encounter the risen Christ. We arrive here burdened with the doubts and the fears we've accumulated through the week. And we find Christ. We recite the scriptures, and we hear the word, and we proclaim the good news of what God is doing in our lives. We eat with our Christ, breaking the bread of Holy Communion. And then, just as the hearts and minds of the disciples were opened by the Holy Spirit, so the Spirit sets our hearts on fire for the gospel. With hearts on fire, Christ sends his people out as witnesses to share this wonderful promise. We witness because we have seen and experienced something that we cannot contain. We are compelled to stand and to testify. We can't run away like we've seen a ghost or something. So what is it that we witness? We witness to the life-changing experience that we find through Christ. We witness to the power of resurrection and renewal. We witness to the confidence that God loves us and God cares for us. At the end, Jesus imposed a mission upon his people. It's a mission embodied by the scripture and catalyzed not by any ghost, but by the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Spirit. And as Christians, we are to proclaim to all people the repentance and forgiveness of sins that are found in our Savior. That's our calling. That's our mission, to testify to the world the joy that we have experienced. May we never forget that this is our calling. May our divine mission haunt us all our lives. Amen.